Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Gary Neron welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry taking a book of the Bible verse by verse, teaching as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology, speaking the truth in love. And our purpose is to give the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of Titus chapter 3, we focused on people that say they need a new translation of the Bible because they do not understand the King James Version. Let's continue with that discussion today. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now, as I said, people want, they want those kind of translations in the Bible that will say words. Well, I can understand these words. I know one person that was very well studied. I mean, they had earned their doctorates very well. I mean, they were very sharp. And one of the translators had talked to that person about everything that went into the new King James Version of the translation. And so she took the Bible and read it through, and after it was over, said, well, look, it's a lot easier to understand the King James than the New King James. It's not written that well. And people say they have a hard time understanding the King James, so they get these other translations, are saying that regardless if they have five letters after their name as far as doctorates are concerned, that they can't read on a fifth grade level because the King James Version is on a fifth grade level. So think about that. It's the Holy Spirit that gives interpretation to the Word of God, not what man's meanderings think the Word of God should actually say. Because when they come up with those things, then they're not giving you the Word of God. They're giving you the Word of man, which is always, always corrupt in some form or fashion. So, watch out. Actual word translation is the best because the Holy Spirit is able to work through His word. And you've got this guy that's going to put those questions out to cause kids to doubt and to cause students to doubt things about God and throw wrenches in there. Then they are offering a way for those kids to go away and those students to go away from what they've been taught. That person is an emissary of the devil. Even though they may be saved, they don't know they've been an emissary of the devil, and they lack the spiritual understanding to discern that, because they like the idea of people praising them for this new thing he taught them, this new thing they learned, and the doubt that it cast on the Word of God. Well, hey, we found something wrong there. If you found something wrong with the Word of God, you have been misled by a man who has been led at that time by one of Satan's minions. People like to call them demons. And so, this is just kind of a warning here from God here in verse 9, telling us some of the things to look out for. People have a problem of pride, and so they don't want God getting glory. They want some glory for themselves. So their self-conceived doctrines, or doctrines they heard from some liberal professor somewhere, and they want to say it to you to make them sound like they're intelligent. They're not. If they were, they would be able to discern between the spirit of truth and a spirit of error. So we believe in the true translation of the Word of God. And my friend, I will never give an apology for believing that God has preserved His word. If He didn't, then my verse here at the beginning of each broadcast, the word being a lamp unto my feet and a light in my path, would be a lie. And of course, we know that is no lie. Beware those that would cast doubt on the power and work of the Holy Spirit, because they feel they want to give you understanding, not God. these people, again, as I said earlier, they claim that they're trying to teach people how to think. Well, what they're trying to do is teach them critical thinking, which says, okay, there's got to be something wrong with this, and I'm going to find what's wrong with it. I'm going to find something to say about it. Critical thinking actually started back in this country in the late 1800s. There's Thomas Dewey. He was the author of it, and not really the author. My goodness, Darwin had it too. Look at his critical thinking, where he talks about the species and the beginning of man. He never addresses those things, and he gets it all wrong. But that's what that comes through is critical thinking. I remember back years ago, I was out in the state of Arizona. I was teaching in the church there, and a young lady I'd been able to lead to the Lord through visitation had come to hear me preach. And so I was talking about humanism, and I told the people, now, one of the things about humanism is this. Your kids are in the school and they have that philosophy, which comes from Dewey. They have that philosophy of critical thinking. They'll ask a question like, what kind of trouble do you get in at home? What's the thing you got in trouble for last? What did your parents do? What should have your parents do? Now you see, they're casting doubt on the parents. What they've decided was wrong. And they weren't even there. They're just going on the student's word. And really don't know everything that's behind it. And so they begin to cast doubt on the parents and really take away from that student something that is special, is learning to trust their parents and seek them for guidance in things of life that they have not experienced, that their parents might help them. And so critical thinking seeks to find fault with the Word of God. And anytime somebody is doing that, they are wrong, and a tool of the devil. Avoid critical thinking. Think in terms of truth. That is always wrong, trying to teach young people to critically think instead of truth think. And so, what is that doing? That is basically trying to override the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit, who wants to give us understanding of God's precious holy word and the way that we should go in this life. So because we are following cunningly derived doctrine that they give with big words and deception and definitions that are really hard to understand, so that you think, oh, they are so far in advance of me. Many of you know Dr. Hopper is our radio station manager here, and he's helped us a lot with this radio program and getting it into places around this globe. And he is one of those men that helped develop the email system for the military, which is now used by you and I and worldwide. I mean, he was one of those. But I've heard him talk in computer talk, and I think he's speaking a foreign language, okay? There's no way I understand a word that he is saying, all right? And that's what he does. And that's what these people do in these colleges sometimes and in these churches. They put out those words, and oh, wow, I'm impressed. So this guy really is good. No, you don't have to do that. You've got the Word of God for you right now. It is preserved through the Textus Receptus and Masoretic Text, which has been translated into what we call the King James Version 1611 of the Bible. Just keep it in mind. The swords of Satan include deception in order that you might follow their doctrine and walk in the ways of the flesh that they would have you to walk. True faith takes God at His word. If you're taking notes, that is something to write down. True, holy faith true holy faith takes God at His word. That's why I mention, pray for the Holy Spirit to enlighten you and give you direction in your life by His Holy Spirit through the Word of God. I can tell you, when I was first going to go to college, I was studying scriptures, just trying to get something. God gave me there in Luke when He said, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. And I thought, why is He impressing that in my heart and mind after I've read it? And it just keeps that with me, you know, but it stays there. And I was married and had two children at the time. We'd have a third one while I was at college. But I remember we got to college. It was in 1974 during a recession. They weren't hiring. I mean, I was putting in applications, trying to get hired, and nobody was hiring. And so I got to the point where I was given blood plasma twice a week. I'd get $5 the first time, $10 the second time. And I would use that money to put just a little bit of gas in my car to give a tithe off that $1.50 to tithe. And, you know, you say, boy, that's not much, you know. Well, that was an actual 10% what I had coming in each week. And then to add to that, I'd walk on the sides of the roads and look for empty Coca-Cola bottles, Pepsi-Cola bottles, and other things like that, soda bottles, and take them to the little convenience stores and turn them in, and you'd get a nickel for each bottle. I do that just to be able to buy some food. And I remember for days, for weeks, actually, even a month, a couple of months, we had nothing but these vegetable cans that you go into a store and they're all bent up, and so they have them in a little place by themselves, and they are sold at a discounted price. And in some of them, even the cover wasn't on it. So when you got that can of vegetables, you might have been just getting stewed tomatoes or something of that nature. You just didn't know, but you took it by faith, so to speak, just to see, have food eaten. Then we kept there with us grits. Now, for you northern people, you might say that it is southern ice cream, okay? It's good. But for breakfast, for lunch, for supper, day after day, it does kind of get old. Now, I would have liked to have had some milk just to put on it. We didn't. We had bought some powdered milk, and we made powdered milk. Now, you know how delicious powdered milk is. Well, that's the way we had to do it. But we didn't have all this other stuff to go with it. But we would do that and a can of vegetables for each of our meals. And that went on until the day came that I come home from classes, and my wife said, this is the last can and the last of the grits. We've got to have something soon.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address for the Lamp and Light broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And again, our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Gary Neron, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.
And so the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.